While they're all talking state standards,
we're sitting on a bar stool making fun of them.
Here we go. Classroom Brew Podcast.
Buddy, welcome back to the podcast. It's a brand new week. Just me for this one, obviously. Before we do jump in, though, I want to give a big shout out to our Patreon members. If you want to join these folks, go to patreon.com/classroombrew for all your bonus content needs, whatever that may be. So shout out to Leslie, Sabrina, Adam, Leo, Melinda, Cindy, Lish, and James. They are our current Patreon members who are getting a little bit extra content and some podcast merch as well. So thank you guys for supporting the show. And if you want to join them, again, patreon.com/classroombrew. I actually just saw, too, one of our former like sponsors that we had, Drizzly, is gone. I guess I can give them that free advertisement because they are gone. Now, granted, we got dropped by them at a certain point. Now, I'm not saying it's karma, but all I'm saying is so far, of the sponsors we've had, one out of two sponsors from the past is no longer with us. So I guess shout out to them. I guess they got beaten out by all the other apps that can deliver stuff. But that sucks. It is what I walk around all the time now in my own neighborhood and seeing more and more businesses going out, even ones that have been around for a while. So that's sad. Just like schools, it's kind of sad. We're losing stuff, the local ones and the ones that we all need. Anyway, let's get into it this week. We got a few, we're all over the place because it's a spring break episode. I've enjoyed so much time away so far. Truly, not even thinking about the school during my spring break. It's been amazing, but it's been hard to get one thing to shake from my mind. And that is this idea of mewing and body shaping. There's even bone smashing that I caught a student, on Go Guardian looking this up. And I had to close the tab and just be like, it's not a thing. There's no sign. It's basically you are, the way you move the muscles in your jaw and your tongue, you are trying to shape your jawline. And bone smashing is doing the same thing, but essentially creating bone spurs to shape your jaw. Like, this isn't Zac Efron. Zac Efron, his jawline shaped tremendously differently because of an injury. But there are kids who believe this shit. Like, this is tabloid level stuff that kids are being sold to, I mean, adults too. It seems pretty dangerous. I had to literally, like, I closed the tab on Go Guardian. I panicked. I was like, it's a myth. Don't do it. Don't hurt yourself. Maybe not the best reaction, but it's the reaction that I had. Again, some of our kids are really impressionable, and that's something that it's a shame that certain content creators or, you know, big companies, both for that matter, are exploiting. Like when, I think I talked about this on the podcast a while ago, whether it's mewing or body shaping or bone smashing or anything that's not scientifically based, that's just as dangerous as like Kanye coming out and saying some really ignorant shit. And the kids aren't, you know, well equipped, despite our best efforts. They're not well equipped to actually search this stuff and form their own opinion. They're going to go with what the person they recognize said. I can't pull, like, multiple students have said, you know, Kanye makes some really good points, man, about shit that was insane. But this is an impressionable group, and I think that's what people are counting on, adults and kids who are pretty impressionable. So that's been on my mind. It's been living rent-free. I will point out that this is also the period of time where you talk about the cycle of disillusionment for teachers, and as we near the end of spring break, some people claim it's like the victory lap of the school year because it's, you know, one quarter to go. It's around that period of time when you start off nice and high. Throughout the year, you drop into like this valley of the shadow of death. And now we're kind of like trending upward toward, you know, feeling a little bit better, a little more rejuvenated and refreshed in our professions. So I don't know if it's that it really is a victory lap. I don't know if it's our mental state, whatever it might be. But don't worry, because the Government did something to make sure that teachers feel like shit. This is from NBC Ohio. It says, this is in Columbus, Ohio. Ohio's State Board of Education is facing a budget cliff and says for it to survive the fall, it either has to raise teacher licensing fees or receive immediate funding from the state. Now, could you imagine in a profession that is already underpaid, undervalued, but also there's a shortage going on, you're going to add a barrier to entry on top of it, especially if someone's on the fence on staying in the profession, of charging them more money to renew their license in a job that is underpaid that you're probably also going to blame the budget crisis on to lower the funding and support that teachers get during a budget crisis. Like, there, a budget problem. Think about this. Take it out on the teachers because there's a budget problem. Lower their salaries or don't offer them anything or take away a position. I saw 15 plus positions this spring, like literally the other day, for a school that is relatively new. 15 plus positions that are immediate hires, meaning right now they need somebody. Meaning right now, 15 teaching jobs, regular teaching jobs, are without a teacher, meaning that regular students are without their teacher. And some states are doing shit like this, underpaying, undervaluing, taking away resources, and then upping the requirements and upping the fees to get and or retain a teaching license. Do we not see the problem here? Like, does the Board of Education in every state need to be put on notice for this? Like, I noticed this tends to always happen almost like a cyclical thing where it's, you know, a few teacher movies come out where it's all about the power of a teacher and how they're undervalued and everyone gets behind it. And then moments later, as soon as times get hard, they turn on teachers. This is why I did a video during the pandemic about how when the pandemic started, teachers were heroes and, you know, they realized how hard our jobs were and how much we were doing to go above and beyond during unprecedented times. Unprecedented was, that was the big word. Everything was unprecedented at that time. And then the public immediately shifted when they got sick of their kids being home or sick of helping their kids with their work to the point where then it became, well, teachers just don't want to work. They don't want to go back into the school. I'm not going to go to my job. You know what I mean? This hypocrisy of, you know, vilifying teachers, but claiming. Anyway, I decided instead of scouring the internet, I'm going to use the power of AI. And all I did was I searched, what is the public regard toward or public view toward public school teachers? And it actually came up with, it categorized it into three sections: respect and appreciation, concerns and criticisms, and overall sentiment. So it says, in terms of respect and appreciation, polls consistently show that a large majority of Americans, around 80 to 90%, believe teachers are important to their communities and deserve more respect. Many recognize the challenges teachers face and support increasing their pay and benefits. I'm sure once they see the list of taxes, that's going to change the things a little bit. Concerns and criticism. There can be a perception that teachers are not overworked or underpaid, despite evidence to the contrary. Leave that to itself. Some people express a lack of trust in teachers, particularly regarding handling sensitive topics in the classroom. This can be tied to a broader cultural and political division, which is fair to say. By the way, if you haven't checked out the Nickelodeon documentary, where Nickelodeon's on notice, I think some teachers and schools and school boards, they should be put on notice, man. If you haven't checked it out, it's all about the abuse and misuse and, you know, horrible, truly illegal treatment of children at Nickelodeon by adults in power. And it sounds a lot like a school district, to be honest with you. Am I equating Nickelodeon to a school? Yeah, I am. Most of them. The overall sentiment, this is again from AI. This is from Google's AI, which used to be called Bard. Now it's called Gemini. I'm not sure why. Overall sentiment, there's general recognition of the important role teachers play, but also a gap between that respect, between respect and how well teachers are supported. Public opinion can vary depending on factors like location, personal experience with schools, and media portrayals, which goes hand in hand. Now, I like that. It is what it is. That's the reality. That is pulled from AI, so take it with whatever grain of salt you want, but it's essentially aggregate data. So with this whole thing in Columbus, Ohio, with a budget problem and, you know, whatever they're doing to teacher salaries and funding for schools, it's funny how that is always what is immediately drawn from first. It's like bottom of the totem pole. Like if you ever watch the show Parks and Rec, which is a fantastic, hilarious show, there is a government shutdown in one of the seasons, one of the early seasons of the show. I think it's seasons 2 to 3. That's where the budget thing happens. And they show a flow chart at a certain point with like, what is essential? What is a priority? Who are the essential personnel? All of that. And I believe education is like on the bottom tier. And that is a choice that the creators of the show definitely made to send a clear message. It's so subtle, it's not even talked about, but they're trying to send a message there about where the public and the government and people in power really do prioritize things like public education. So I liked the part, this is from Google's Gemini, the disconnect that there is between, it said the gap between respect and how well teachers are supported. I'm thinking about all the meetings where I think even Joe Dombrowski had something where a teacher was told that, or he was told that, you know, I pay my taxes and therefore you work for me, that kind of a thing. For me, what I've noticed, especially since the pandemic, is just a lack of boundary on work hours. Like if I'm not responding to an email from a parent, a guardian, or a student within 45 seconds, I'm immediately getting a follow-up email. Did you see it? Why can't you respond? You're not helping me. I need help. He's not helping me. Then I get an email from my principal. It's a whole mess. So the whole gap between, you know, our school does this, you know, teacher appreciation week that's a little bit half-assed, but sometimes they'll ask students to write something. And sometimes it's very genuine. It's very nice. It's very awesome. Other times it's like the same student that just cursed me out last week is talking about how much they appreciate all their teachers, not by name, just in general, they appreciate all their teachers for all they've done for them. And it's like, what extra credit did you get offered? Speaking of extra credit, in my first year, I got a couple of Thanksgiving cards and Christmas ornaments from students. And usually it was just like, it had your name, you know, on the envelope, and then on the inside, it was blank and there was nothing and it was from the student. Or those like kind of dream catcher or kite looking yarn ornaments from students. And it was always followed up with, can you email Mrs. So-and-so so I can get my extra credit? And it's like, got it. This wasn't a genuine thing. It's just, you know, it's not the same, man. We actually used to get stuff for our teachers when I was in like elementary school, sometimes middle school and high school. It does wear off. I will give it to the kids in that way. But man, the disconnect, I don't know. Last little thing, I was thinking about fundraising because as a former coach of a big sport and current coach of a smaller sport, I've seen the disparity in support and funding for some sports versus others. When I was a football coach, anything we needed, annual charges and, you know, recertification and conditioning of equipment and new equipment and safety related stuff and anything else that we could possibly need, we pretty much had it without question because it was football. It's one of the big sports. It's football, it's basketball, it's wrestling at our school. As a track coach, though, I had to scratch and claw to get a quarter of a set of warm-up gear for our track team. And I should point out the school never paid for the uniforms. That was just from a teacher friend who just went out of pocket with a nonprofit that they had to cover those. Even stuff like us getting transportation, it's held against our sport. Like, well, we're paying for your bus. So yeah, you motherfucker, you pay for every bus for every sport to go to every game or competition or whatever it might be. And we technically have the least amount of competitions we have to go to for our season to qualify. And they fucking fight me every step of the way to pay for those meets, to pay for those buses. But any other sport needs a bus, got to pay for some entry fees, no problem. And this is hilarious because we even had a meet more recently, and I don't know who dropped the ball or when the ball was dropped, but we didn't have a bus. And we found this out moments before we had to go. that there was no bus. And so we had to figure it out. Lovely. So we're calling and asking, you know, parents and guardians, and we've luckily got a student who can drive a bunch of student athletes, and we bailed them out, and not a fucking word from whoever it was. I still don't know who dropped the ball there. But point being, I think if I need anything for my sport from here on out, well, in theory, I should be able to get it, because this is now the fourth time there has been a failure to launch on the bus getting service. I get it. Mistakes happen. You know, maybe you missed an email, or maybe, you know, something was not possible, or whatever it might be. But the disparity in support for sports from admin, even for fundraisers, like my pet peeve is school fundraisers, because at our school, 90% of the time, the people who are donating are staff themselves. Because here's how it goes. A coach or, you know, whoever, they say to the students, all right, guys, we're going to start a fundraiser. And then they send an email out to every single staff member. And every kid goes to every single classroom and says, can you donate to this fundraiser so we can get water? I don't know what it is. And seriously, it is almost always teachers who are funding it. In a profession, and I do say profession, where we're supposed to be making money when we're there. You know? Okay, maybe it sounds bad to say we're there to make money, but it's a fucking job. Let's grow up. Doesn't mean that we don't care. Doesn't mean we don't try. Doesn't mean we don't have passion for it. But we are there to make money. That is our job. And so many staff members are essentially pressured into, you know, paying back hundreds of dollars for these fundraisers. You know? It's one thing if it's like they get something out of it, like here's a t-shirt as a thank you or something like that. But if you're being pressured, that kind of takes away the charity of it all for a fundraiser. I for sure mentioned this before, but the one fundraiser that I spearheaded, well, actually, I chose it because it was spearheaded by the kids. This organization, can't remember what it was called, but the whole thing was that it's ownership on student athletes, not on the adults. And the only criteria they had that set it apart for, you know, for me to choose to go with this company was that it had incentives for the kids, incentives for donors, and there was a requirement that it couldn't go to school staff. If you did go to school staff, it had to be like a personal email or something like that. But it was basically finding people in the community or families who could donate. Now, that was awesome. And I know that I teach in a low income area. I'm not expecting, you know, a lot. I was just hoping it would cover, you know, a couple of buses for that season. And we raised a total of $55, of which we could take home 44, because we had to pay a fee to the company for the fundraiser. But point being, it was the only fundraiser that wasn't, you know, funded by school staff out of the kindness of their hearts. And the same parents who were, you know, asking for, you know, the next 90 yards of effort from us, and some of them showing up, by the way, in some really nice cars. I'm like, I'm not judging. I know it's, you know, book by its cover and all that stuff, and everyone has their own things, and I'm not saying that they should have, but like, there's no team fees and stuff like that, and you just bought the kid like a brand new iPhone, and you yourself have a Mercedes and stuff like that. Like, I don't know your situation, but like, maybe help us out a little bit. Like, we got your kids' competition spikes out of our pockets. Maybe you could, you know, pay it forward a little bit for us. So, I don't know. There's my rant on sports for this week. But anyway, hey, it's the end of spring break for us. Some of you guys are already back, so sorry. But it is, again, almost like the victory lap, where the end is near. It's basically April at this point. Depending on when you're listening to this, it may be April or maybe it's May. But I see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I am looking forward to it. Anyway, that's about it. This was my spring break episode. So if it was all over the place, because honestly, I've tried to distance myself from thinking about the school. So I just kind of brain dumped whatever was on my mind for this episode into my little note here. And that's where my mind took it. That's the problem with having like general bullet points, is that your brain really, really kind of tangentially expands on it. So Hey, a big shout out to James, Lish, Cindy, Melinda, Leo, Adam, Sabrina, and Leslie, our current Patreon members. If you want to go above and beyond and support the show, just go to patreon.com/classroombrew. Or if you just spread the word on the podcast, that is the most helpful. I believe we're doing a few TikTok clips as well, so just check us out on TikTok or Instagram. It's just at Classroom Brew. But again, the biggest thing is supporting the show by spreading the word, listening in, you know, whenever you can, rate the show or whatever it might be. And if you want to be on the show, just send us an email or reach out on whatever social media you prefer. All that stuff is, by the way, in the episode show notes, aka the description of the podcast for this week. But until next week, guys, enjoy whenever you had your spring break, your drive to and from work, whatever it might be. And until then, class dismissed.
This is Classroom Brew.